As they're making their way out, I'm going to go ahead and get started. As we start this morning, we're going to be back in the book of Jonah, but we're going to be in a different chapter today. We're going to be in chapter 2. I was talking with somebody this morning. We were having this conversation about people running away from God. We live in a world of Jonas, where people get distracted and they get tempted. And instead of seeking what God's desires are in their own lives, they seek what they want in their lives. They look at the difficulties surrounding them. They look at the conflicts surrounding them. And they see it and it scares them. And they start running away. In the book of Jonah, chapter 2 this morning, we're going to see how God got Jonah back to where he wanted Jonah. You see, you may think that you can run away from God. You may think that you can hide from God. But the bottom line is you can't hide from God. God is going to seek you. God is not going to give up on you. God is going to keep pursuing you. He is going to keep coming after you, bringing you back to where he desires for you to be. So this morning, again, I'm gonna ask you, I'm gonna start with a question. I'm gonna ask you, are you running away from God this morning? Are you running away from what God desires to do in your life? Are you running away from the calling that God is putting on your heart this morning? This morning, I'm gonna show you how God brought Jonah back to where God desired for Jonah to be. Now, as we read about in Jonah chapter 1, where we've been the last 2 weeks, we saw the reasons that Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away. He became disobedient because he looked at the Assyrians and the Ninevites as being evil people. And he thought that since they were so evil, that they didn't deserve God's mercy. They didn't deserve God's grace. But everywhere in God's word that you look and you see and you read, you will see time and time and time again that none of us, not one single person in this building, not one single person in this nation, not one single person in this world is worthy of God's grace and his mercy. But yet, he pours it out on us. He loved us so much. And as a result of loving us so much and not being able to look at our sin, he sent Jesus to die for us. So Jonah had a bad attitude to begin with. He looked at the Assyrians and he said, they're not worthy of God's grace and mercy. But was he looking at himself? Was he looking at himself? This morning, are you looking around you and saying, this person isn't worthy of God's grace and mercy? Well, maybe God's looking right back at you this morning and saying, you're not either. But I love you enough that I sent my son to die for you. As we read in Jonah chapter 1, God used a storm to bring Jonah back to him. To bring Jonah back into obedience, God used a storm out in the middle of the sea. How many of us have that same tendency to believe that God is distant and God is removed when we're in our trials, when we're in our tribulations? How many of us, in our times of difficulty, in our times of trial, blame God for what's going on? And as a result, when we blame God, what happens? We drift away. We turn our backs on God. In most situations, the trials and the tribulations that we are facing, they're the result of our own disobedience. In the story of Jonah, we're reminded by Jonah himself that God's presence enables us to endure our trials. God's presence enables us to endure the things that we face, the tribulations that we face, especially those trials, especially those tribulations that we face ourselves as a result of our own disobedience. God is never, as you can see here in the book of Jonah, and we'll read the scripture here in just a minute, but God is never going to forsake his children. Even when our actions are in disobedience and are the opposite of what God desires. When we're living in disobedience, God is still actively pursuing us. In the story of Jonah that I'm going to read here in just a minute, we can learn how to respond to God's promptings. We can learn how to respond with that pull of God saying, come back. We're going to see how Jonah responded. Here in this story, we see that Jonah's experience in returning to God, we see three different things. So I'm going to have three different points. But the first thing I want to do is I want to open up his word, and I want to read Jonah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. If you are able, I'm going to ask that you please stand in honor of God's word this morning. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. You may be seated. Let us pray. Our Father, we just again thank you for this day. We just thank you again for this time that you've given us to come together in your presence and to open up your word and to study what it is that you have prepared for us this morning. Father, I pray that you would push me aside. I pray that everything that's spoken from this pulpit this morning is coming directly from your mouth. Father, I pray that each of us would open our hearts. I pray that each of us would open our minds. And I just pray that each of us would be receiving of what it is that you have for us this morning. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The first point that I want to make here, the first thing I want everybody to see here in Jonah chapter 2, it can actually be seen in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. It says, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. So the first point I want to make is here in this story that we just read in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah was confined. He was confined. God had Jonah where he wanted Jonah. God used the sea, as I said just a few minutes ago, as his hand of correction over Jonah. But he actually used the fish for three specific reasons. The first reason that God used the fish is the fish was a protective haven from the sea. Jonah was in the fish, and the fish represents God's provision for his protection. God's intention here was not to kill Jonah. God's intention here was to get Jonah's attention. But in order to get Jonah's attention, he had to get Jonah alone. And so as a result, those sailors threw Jonah out of the boat. And as Jonah was swimming about in the waves of the ocean, Jonah brought a fish that swallowed Jonah. God brought a fish that swallowed Jonah. And as a result, this was a representation of God's provision for his protection. If God's intention was to kill Jonah here, he could have easily have left Jonah to die out amongst the waves of the sea. I don't know if any of you all have ever been out at or been at the beach when there's been a hurricane or a tropical storm coming in, but I can remember a couple times in my life over the course of the last 3 years where I've been at the beach, and once was a hurricane and once was a tropical storm. And I remember just walking down to the beach, no beach being left. And it was just like those waves were crashing ashore. It looked like the ocean was so angry. It looked like the ocean was so mad. And I remember going up to my balcony, and I remember looking out from my condo, seeing that ocean, and as far out as you could see was whitecaps. And it was just a ferocious, it looked like just a ferocious storm. And as the winds came in, you could just hear this whistling, and you could look out and you could see the palm trees just blowing every which direction. And I know for me, one of the things that I was thinking was, am I going to be safe? Am I where I need to be? God, I know I was stupid and driving down here for a hurricane, but I'm here and I don't have a choice, so I'm going to have to sit through it. The point I'm trying to make here is it doesn't take a lot for the ocean to overcome you. It can be a small thunderstorm and that ocean gets wild. Here at the story that we see here in Jonah chapter 2, the ocean was wild. There was a storm that God had made and the waves were huge. And instead of allowing Jonah to die, as he always does, God brought protection. God brought protection. You see, God's desire here was to break Jonah from his disobedient will and instead turn Jonah to follow his will. A lot of the trials, a lot of the tribulations that we face in our lives, sometimes God uses those trials. Sometimes God uses those things to bring us back to him. Because sometimes we get off course in the way that we choose to walk. And I know in my dealings with the church in the last 10 years, I can say that many people choose to be self-righteous instead of seeking Christ's righteousness. In order to pursue God's will for our lives, we have to pursue Christ's righteousness. And we have to pursue Christ's righteousness every day by surrendering, by confession, by repentance, by true repentance. And so sometimes God has to get our attention, because sometimes we get so distracted and we get so off course that we can't see those things. And as a result, God has to steer us back in. God has to bring us back into his will. He has to bring us back into obedience to him. Here in these verses of Jonah chapter 2 that we just read, we can see that Jonah was thankful that he did not drown. He actually cried out to God, thanking God for saving him here in these verses. So the first reason that God used the fish was the fish was a protective haven from the sea. The second reason that God used the fish is the fish provided a transport to the coast for Jonah to go to Nineveh. What was the reason that Jonah was running? He was running to get away from Nineveh. He was running to get away from what God was calling to do, which was to go to the Assyrians and to preach the message of, hey, God will forgive you. God will forgive you. God will give you grace and mercy, but you have to repent. You have to confess. You have to become obedient again. And so that was the whole reason that Jonah got on the boat. That was the whole reason he was trying to get away from Nineveh. But after God swallowed up Jonah with a fish, using a fish, God used that fish to take him right back to where God desired for him to be. The trials, the things that we're facing in our lives today, maybe God is using what you are going through in your life this morning to get you back to where he desires for you to be. You may not think you're worthy of being back to where he desires for you to be. That's not your decision to make. If you have accepted the blood of Christ and you are a child of God, you are worthy in God's eyes. You have God's grace and you have God's mercy when you have the blood of Christ. The world may look at you differently. The world may tell you things differently. The world may tell you that you're not worthy. The world may tell you that God can't use you. But time and time and time again, he shows a story in his word where he extended grace, where he extended mercy, where he made a way when we didn't think there was a way. A lot of people think there is no way for the United States of America to come back to God today. Well, let me tell you, since God founded it, there is a way that God can bring this country back to him. If you're lost this morning, if you've drifted away, if you became disobedient as Jonah was being disobedient here in chapter 2, God can make a way for you. God can make the mistakes that you've made in your past, and he can use them for your glory today. So get rid of the woe is me attitude and start standing up to what God wants to do in your life. Start pursuing God's will for your life this morning. Stop running away and saying, God, there is no way, when God's word clearly says that there is a way. So God used the fish as a mode of transport to the coast for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah needed these 3 days and three nights inside the fish to empty his sinful heart. That's why there was a 3-day time period from when Jonah or God let the fish vomit Jonah out. There was a 3-day time period, and that 3-day time period was a time that God desired for Jonah to draw back to him, to look at his sinful ways, to confess his sinful ways, and to truly repent from his sinful ways. But this 3 days and this 3 nights is also a representation of God's sovereignty in regards to his timing. Jesus referred to the story of Jonah when teaching about his disciples in Matthew chapter 12. Can you put Matthew chapter 12 verses 38 through 40 up there, please? One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." Jesus himself made an example of the story of Jonah when he was teaching to the Pharisees here, which were wanting a miraculous sign of Jesus' authority. Since God's plan was still to use Jonah by going to Nineveh, God used the fish as a means of transportation to get Jonah back to where he started. Look at what you may be facing in your life this morning. Is God using what's taking place in your life at this very moment? Is he using that to bring you back to him? Is he using that to bring you back into his will for your life? This morning, I'm asking you to open your heart. Because maybe just as though God was using Jonah to transport, God was using the fish to transport Jonah back to Nineveh, God may be using the trial that you're facing this morning in your life to bring you back to him. The third reason that God used the fish provided a private sanctuary with the Lord. There was no distraction. He was in the stomach of a fish. And so it was a time for Jonah to pray to the Lord his God. It was a time for God to get close to Jonah. You see, when we get distracted, when we get tempted, when there's all kinds of noise taking place around us, what happens? That's when we drift. That's when we turn away. That's when we walk away because we start hearing all this noise. We start hearing all these distractions. We start hearing all these temptations. And so as a result, all of that noise, we let it come over God. And instead of listening to God, and instead of listening to his directions, and instead of listening to his calling, instead of listening to his will, we start listening to the noise of the world. We need a church this morning. We need a group of Christians, meaning the church, to come together. And instead of allowing the distractions and the temptations that the world is throwing at us, we need to open up and we need to start pursuing our sanctuaries. You know what a sanctuary is? It's not an auditorium. It's not a church building. It's where you get alone with God and where you speak to God. And we need Christians today that are devoted and committed and submitted to his will and actually take the time to get alone and listen to him. And it's not just one day a week. It's not just 2 days a week. It's an everyday thing. Are you taking the time in your life, not just today, but are you going to take the time in your life this week to get alone and to get into that sanctuary and listen to what it is that God has for you in your life? It's time we stop listening to the world. And it's time we stop listening to the noise. And it's time we stand up. And it's time we start grabbing a hold of the hand of God and saying, let's go. I may be going into the fiery furnace just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But even in the midst of the fiery furnace, God was there. As Daniel went into the den of lions, what happened? God was there. God is in with you today in the midst of your storms, in the midst of your trials. He's there. So let's stop with this woe is me attitude and go where God wants us to go. When you encounter God, God has your complete attention. And everything else is a distraction. Are you truly listening to God? Are you truly taking the time to draw near to him? There were three things that happened inside this fish. Number one, Jonah recognized his dependence upon God. Jonah recognized his dependence upon God inside this fish. You can see that in verse 2 of chapter 2, where it says, he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Are you depending on God this morning as Jonah was depending on God inside the belly of this fish? Are you crying out to God? Because I can tell you, God's word tells us if you're crying out to God, he's listening. He's listening to your heart. And the thing is, is as you're crying out to God this morning, He wants to answer you. He wants to take action. But are you allowing Him to take action? Are you allowing Him to do what it is that He wants to do in your life? Or are you saying no out of fear and turning your back on Him? That's what many of us as Christians do. We turn our backs in fear because we can't stand to look at the road ahead of uncertainty. We want everything planned out. I've learned one thing in my walk with God, and that's this. I can't plan those things out. I've got to give God complete control. I've got to stop trying to work things out on my own, and I've got to start allowing God to do what it is that He desires to do. Have you given control of your situation? Have you given control of the trials and the tribulations that you're facing in your life over to God this morning? Are you depending on God, or are you still depending on yourself? Inside this fish's belly, Jonah had nobody else to depend upon God other than God. If he relied upon himself, he was going to die. But God didn't have the desire for Jonah to die. So first thing that happened in the fish was Jonah recognized his dependence upon God. Number two, God stripped Jonah of pride and prejudice. He removed all distractions of a spiritual nature. Where does pride and prejudice point to? Pride and prejudice point to the self. That's what happens. We become prideful. We become prejudice. Those are all mentalities of the self. Inside the belly of this fish, God stripped Jonah of those things. Number three, Jonah submitted to God without reservation. And that can be seen in verse 9 that it says, "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." He submitted to God without reservation. Are you this morning submitting to God without reservation? Or this morning, are you submitting to God and saying, "God, I will do this, but..." However, if you're using the word "but" or if you're using the word "however," that's reservation. Our service to God requires no reservation. It requires giving it all to God. Don't you think we as Christians need to stop trying to control the church with what we want? That's the problem with the church today, is Christians are more focused on bringing into the church what they want instead of what God desires. Over the last 6 months of my life, I've heard it time and time and time again. This is what I want. This is what I feel. This is what needs to happen. No, that's not what needs to happen. No, serving God's not about feelings. No, serving God's not about what we desire and about what we want. It's about what God desires to do. Are you all not ready for a church service where Christ can come in and He can have ultimate and all control? I want to be a part of a service where we can come in and God has glorified in everything that we do. I'm tired of attending churches in my days, in my life, where I've walked into the doors of the church and it's about families. It's about what families want. We got to move beyond that. We got to move and we got to pursue what God wants to do. the only way that this that the grace is going to be successful is if we pursue God in all that we do. And one thing that we talked about here in the book of Jonah, we can see here in chapter 2, and we've already read through it, but it's in God's timing. The 3 days that Jonah was in the belly of the fish, it was God's timing. God's answers aren't always immediate. Our trials, our tribulations that we're facing in our life, answers aren't always immediate. It takes time. Sometimes it's immediate, but sometimes it's 6 months to a year before God answers. There's something in my life that I've been praying on for over a year now. And I'm seeking God's answer in my life. Do I grow impatient? Yes. But when I grow impatient, I confess and I move on. And I keep pursuing His will because I know if I try to do that on my own, if I try to make the answer to the situation on my own, I'm going to fail. I don't want God's church to fail. I don't want to see God's people. I don't want to see God's children fail. I'm telling you, folks, it breaks my heart when I see people step away from what God is desiring to do in their lives because of decisions and things that about what they want. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. God wanted him to go. So even in light of the fact that Jonah thought he could get away from God's will, God said, no, you're not getting away from my will. I'm going to keep pursuing you. Somebody in this building needs that this morning. God's not going to stop pursuing you. God is going to keep pursuing you until you step back and until you say, okay, God, I surrender. This morning, are you willing to stand up and say, I surrender? But don't just stand up and say, I surrender. Stand up and say, I surrender all. Because that's what it requires. In the belly of that fish, Jonah surrendered all. Jonah got alone with God, and the voice of all distractions, including sin, became faint. It stopped. The voice of God inside the belly of that fish became loud and clear. I love to go camping. We got a camper last year. I begged my wife to get a camper. And I love to go camping. But it's not, I don't like to go to get away. The reason I like to go camping is up in the mountains. That is my sanctuary. It's my sanctuary where I can speak to God so clearly. My cell phone's not ringing. I'm not dealing with the noise that's going on around me. It's me and God. Sometimes when I get super distracted in my life, when the noise becomes so loud, I feel as though it's going to overcome me. I look at my wife and I'll say, we need to get away. We need to get in that camper and we need to go to the mountains because I need to get away from the noise. I need to listen to what it is that God's desiring to do through this situation. Because I know if I sit right here and I'm listening to all the noise that's taking place around me, I'm not going to do what it is that God desires to do. So I have to go and get alone with God. No, that's not just done with a camper. Sometimes we drive up to the mountains. And sometimes just looking out over the beautiful valleys, sometimes just seeing that fog nestle into the valleys and seeing the sun up there and seeing all the beautiful redness and the oranges and the yellows of the leaves. I look at all that and I see nothing but God. And it's a constant conversation. If you've wandered from God and sensed your need to renew your faith, then I would encourage you to get alone with Him. Get away from the noise. Get alone with God, as Jonah was alone with God in the belly of this fish. Second thing that I want us to see through Jonah chapter 2, I made the point, first point, that Jonah was confined. Number two, Jonah had a time of communion with God. He had a time of communion with God when he was in the belly of this fish. If you look at the majority of what we read in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is praising God. He's quoting some of what we see in Psalms. And I'm just going to go over some of those verses. If you look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves." Can you put up Psalm chapter 42, verse 7? Jonah was coming from here. "I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me." In Jonah chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple." Can you put up Psalm 31, verse 22? "In panic, I cried out, 'I am cut off from the Lord.' But you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help." It says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 5, "I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself over my head." Can you put up Psalm 69, verse 1? "For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be sung to the tune, 'Lilies, save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck.'" It says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, "As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayers went out to you in your holy temple." Can you put up Psalm 147, verse 3? "He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." In Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies." Can you put up Psalms 18, verse 6? "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." And it says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Can you put up Psalms chapter 3, verse 8? "Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people." You see, Jonah was quoting from Psalms here. He was having a time of communion with God. So why was the Word of God so critical to Jonah's spiritual recovery? I want to make three points here. Number one, God speaks through his Word to the heart. This is why I think it's so important for us to memorize Scripture. Because many times when we memorize those scriptures, those are things that we hold on to for a lifetime. If you've spent time memorizing scripture, you've put effort into memorizing something. And at my age, it's a lot harder to memorize than it was when I was 10 years old. So I would encourage you, if you're young, to start memorizing scripture. Because as you memorize that scripture, it's something that you hold on to your life. All of your life, your entire life. And there's things that we go through in our lives every day. And every day it seems as though whatever I'm facing that day, God puts a scripture on my heart. And it's a scripture that I memorized when I was small. God used scripture here. He spoke to Jonah through his word. So God speaks through his word to the heart. Number two, God guides our thoughts by his thoughts. God guides our thoughts by his thoughts. The word of God guided Jonah to understand and acknowledge God's thoughts about him. Jonah's thoughts were not in alignment with God's thoughts. Are your thoughts in alignment with God's thoughts this morning? Let God speak to you. Let God show you his thoughts. Number three, God's word cleanses us. Through God's word, Jonah's rebellious heart became softened. If we truly desire and we truly seek God's word, his word will always draw us back to him. His word will always draw us back to him. I look at God's word as a compass. I like to play with this app on my phone. It's a compass. Because I like to know which way is east, west, north, and south. And so sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll just play with my compass on my phone. It's a sense of direction. It's a sense of direction to let you know which direction you're going. God's word is much more than that. But part of God's word is a sense of direction. I can assure you this morning, whatever situation that you may be going through in your life this morning, God wants to provide direction. But to know God's direction for your life, it requires effort on your part. Are you doing what it is that is required of you to find out God's direction in your life? In the majority of situations that I've faced in my life, this right here has been my sense of direction. When times have been hard, when times I've had trials and tribulations in my life, when God's put calling on my heart, in order to seek whether or not that's a godly calling, in order to seek direction in my trials and my tribulations, he gave me this. And this shows me what it is I'm supposed to do. And this is an instruction manual that will show you what it is that you're supposed to do too. But you have to be willing to pick it up. You have to be willing to pick it up, and you have to be willing to read it. You have to be willing to pray over it. And it's not just a matter of picking it up one day a week. It's a matter of putting time aside every single day, pursuing God daily. Are you doing those things in your life? If you're doing those things in your life, I can assure you God is going to speak to you. Just as he spoke to Jonah. Through God's word, Jonah became obedient. His heart was cleansed. He pursued God's thoughts. And he got back on course with where God wanted to take him, with what God wanted to use him for. Third point I want to make through Jonah chapter 2, the third thing that you see here is Jonah had a time of confession. Jonah had a time of confession. So first point, Jonah was confined. Second point, Jonah had a time of communion. Third point, Jonah had a time of confession. When you come to a place that you know God has your attention, and you know within your heart that you must return to God, can you imagine what you would say to God? Here is the story of Jonah. Jonah had four different responses concerning God's direction. I'm going to briefly go through these and I'll be done. The first response of Jonah was, I recognize your hand at work. I recognize your hand at work here. That can be seen in Jonah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. Jonah makes the connection here in those verses that we just read between his disobedience and God's correction. So Jonah said, I recognize your hand at work here. Second thing that Jonah said was, I turn my eyes back to you. I turn my eyes back to you. We just read that in verse 4. How do we turn our eyes back to God? We have to be willing to confess. We have to be willing to truly repent. God desires for your eyes to be on Him. God desires to be at work in your life. But those are two things that we have to make a choice and we have to be willing to allow God to do. Whatever you may be facing in your life this morning, whatever trial, whatever tribulation that you may be facing in your life, God wants to work through it. God wants your eyes to be on Him. He wants you to repent. He does not desire for you to backslide. He does not desire for you to drift away from Him. He desires for you to draw close to Him. The third thing is that Jonah said to God was, I thank you for your compassion. That can be seen in verse 6 of chapter 2. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. I thank you for your compassion. Jonah here offered his thanks in faith, for he had not experienced deliverance at this point. Jonah knew and he understood that God had left him alive for a purpose. Are you struggling this morning with why you're alive? Do things look so dark in your life that you can't figure it out? You're never going to be able to figure it out on your own. But God has a purpose for each of us here. God had a purpose in putting you here. So this morning, if you're struggling with why you're even alive, I'm just here to tell you that you're a child of God. If you've accepted the blood of Christ, if you've not accepted that blood of Christ, God desires for you to accept that blood of Christ. And God desires to use you. There is a purpose for each and every one of us. And that purpose is not to be beaten down. That purpose is not to drift away. That purpose is not to walk away. Each one of us, God has a purpose to use us. So stop letting the world tell you that that God can't use you, because God can use you. God can use the alcoholic. God can use the drug addict. God can use whatever situation that you may be facing in your life this morning. God can use it for His glory. But you have to be willing to allow God to pull you back into obedience, to pull you back in alignment with His will. So Jonah recognized God's hand at work. Jonah turned his eyes back on God. Jonah thanked God for His compassion. And finally, Jonah renewed his commitment to God. He renewed his commitment to God. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Maybe you need to renew your commitment to God. Maybe you have backslid. Maybe you have drifted away. I'm going to ask Casey and DJ to come up and lead us in a song of invitation. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning to commit your life back to God. Just because you've drifted away, just because you've gotten off course, doesn't mean that it's over. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a new beginning. And God erases the past. He erases the fact that you drifted away. He reverses what you've done in your past. That's the thing about God. God loves us that much that he sent Jesus to die for us. He loved us so much that he sent the Lamb to shed his blood upon that cross and to be resurrected. Because he wanted to make hope for you and me. He wanted to make a way for you and me. Stop letting the world this morning tell you that there is no way for you. Don't be like Jonah and keep running because you've been hurt and you believe somebody isn't worthy of grace and mercy. Each person in this building is worthy of God's grace and mercy. Let's stop running away from God this morning. Let's start running towards Him. Let's start allowing God to use us again. The only way that we can go out and make disciples of all nations this morning and this week by allowing him to use us. If you've got bitterness in your heart this morning, if you've got sin in your heart this morning, if you've got sin in your life this morning, those are things that are distracting you from what God desires to do. Let's allow God to cleanse us this morning, just as he cleansed Jonah.
Mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I will sing the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. darkness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, he has.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Come on, church, let's stand. Let's
all
show.
My life you have been
give
so,
reverence to what he's
so
done in our
good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. I will see of the goodness of God. Yeah. True. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father God, we just thank you for this word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. God, I pray that you give us strength to apply this to our life. God, that we would allow you to point out anything in us that offends you. That God, that we would willingly turn it over to you. That we would surrender all. That we would surrender our wills. God, I surrender to you here now. It's all yours. I only live because of you. I only live because of your breath. It's not my breath to breathe, Father God. Here I am. Use me. Send me whatever way that you see necessary. We just love you. We love you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name, Amen.